So here's a deep dive that I kind of fell into today. I found out that England actually knighted J. Edgar Hoover. I've been depressed all fucking day. Beef, wine, and shenanigans, everybody. That's my little fun fact to start the show off. Okay, so as usual, Mr. Kirk Johnson, Mr. Mark Abbott, joining me, Stephen Van Patten. But let me tell you, our guest tonight, prolific. And just a fantastic guy, is an award-winning author, and he's been nominated for Hugos, Nebulas, Sturgeons, and World Fantasy. He's his novel, The Master of the Djinn, was great. I'm actually a big fan of The Haunting of Tramcar 015, but he's got a whole bunch of stuff that he can talk about with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Fenderson Jelly Clark.
Glad to be here, everyone. I'm a drinking time. Yeah,
thank you.
I like
thank
the
you
clap.
For coming,
like
brother. No,
crowd.
We appreciate you. We really appreciate you joining us because we do start the show a little late.
And we're all men of a certain age, so you
we
know.
Are. Yes, we are. Yes,
that's
we
the
are.
Best word for it. How old are you? I'm a man of a certain age.
Man, I'm a certain age.
Man, I'm still 35.
Yeah, I'm
Kirk,
not.
And 35 for about. Kirk is a man of a certain fro. So. Mm-hmm. There we go. So,
you putting some black on that fro, Kirk.
Don't hate, baby. Don't hate.
In the grave now.
Don't hate, baby. Don't hate. Been 35 for 10 years now.
It would not be. It would not be the first time that we pretended that we were sponsored by Posner, makers of Afro Sheen and Afro Sheen cosmetics. And then we all just look at Kirk. So, anyway, Finn. Was going to talk influences with you because seems like if somebody wanted to talk gin, and I don't mean the tasty beverage, I mean the supernatural creature, you would be somebody to run to with that.
Maybe. Yeah, the gin stories have actually, they kind of taken off mm-hmm. in ways that I never expected. Like, you can ask Kirk, the kind of stories I would talk about were a lot different. Then in 2016, this story of Dead Gin in Cairo just kind of took off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I wrote it, had no plans to write anything else in that world. I was just like, I wrote this one story, let's see what happens. And it turned out that people liked it. One thing you realize as a writer is when people like it and they start asking you, is there more? Is there more? You're like, no. But they keep asking you, there's going to be more. That's right. How The Haunting of Tramcar 015 happened. Mm-hmm. Right. And now there's a novel. So what started off is just this exploration that I was doing in this first story has really taken off. And so now I have to know a lot about Jin.
Yeah.
Because it's the road I've decided to go down. And so it's been a learning experience as well when it comes to writing. So I'm a person to ask about Jin, but I'm learning as I go along as well.
Gotcha. So wondering about your early influences as a kid.
Mm.
We tend to hash that out sometimes amongst the three of us. So, just kind of curious what you had happen.
Oh, man. I'm thinking back. I'm glad we're all men of a certain age here. So, first of all, my earliest memories, I was born in the U.S., but my parents are from Trinidad.
Oh,
yay.
and so they sent me back there. They did the thing where we're going to send you back to live with your grandparents for like 6 years. And so my earliest years are of growing up in Trinidad. And so you grew up in Trinidad. So first of all, everything was a little bit of folklore because there was always the thoughts of like, there are things like Sukuyam, vampire, fiery vampires that might be out at night. I remember my grandmother, putting out all the candles because the dogs were barking. I said, why are the dogs barking? She said, the witches are out. I said, oh, witches. Okay. That was just an everyday thing, right? You come in, somebody tell you, you got to walk back inside because you might have bought something with you the first time. Right? So that was just like an everyday, that was just every day. Plus we also had like a,
like, and everybody had a dog
Hindu
there,
community. Right? And so I was like constantly in Hindu cosmologies, and like we had three TV channels, like BBC, I can't remember the other one, and then a Hindi TV. And so I was watching Mahabharata, you know, with many armed gods and things. So like my formative years was just a ton of that. And then on BBC, I'm taking you back. I'll always remember one of my first inspirations of things where I knew I liked the fantastic and sci-fi was a show called Space 1999.
Yes. Oh,
for any,
wow.
For any youngins.
Wow.
You might not know what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
Oh, wow.
Every Friday, they came on the BBC in Trinidad, and I was there to watch it. I had no idea what it was about, but I knew there was this one woman that I had a crush on who could change shapes.
She had like the cyst on her brows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had the crazy eyebrows. I want to say, was it?
Crazy eyebrows.
Right. Was it?
Mira. Something like that. Yeah, Mira.
It was stuff like, so stuff like that was the inspiration. And then when I came to the States, you know, both my parents, my mom was into old black and white Twilight Zones. My father, the first night I was there, introduced me to like Godzilla versus Monster Zero, and it was over. So my inspirations are like a mix of all those things, you know, from Trinidad to then coming here and then just getting exposed to a lot more. And I can't remember a time when I wasn't into something speculative in science fiction. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you though the time like, oh, I got into it then. It's like it was just always a part of me. Yeah.
Got it.
So what, wow, no Doctor Who, baby? No Tom Baker.
I came to Doctor Who later, and it was like my best friend, he was really into Doctor Who, and he would try to get me to watch, and I'd be like, it looked kind of weird. It was this old Doctor Who where it was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Right.
It took a while for me to get into Doctor Who. It took a while.
Yeah.
Okay. I came a little later.
Well, that's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, like folks down south and folks in the islands back in the day, they all kind of had these like random superstitions.
Right.
You know, that that always made your day a little extra interesting. You know,
always.
Kind of like, yeah, don't do that. One that's very specific to me because I happen to be born on New Year's Eve is the one about New Year's Day where you actually should have a man enter the house first. So it was like even now, you know, I'm like when people are like inviting me over on New Year's Day, it's like is that because of my birthday or is because
You're the man.
You're the one.
How about this?
Yeah, bro.
Did anybody have the my mother and my grandmother were good at this. I would fall asleep. My mother would wake me up and say, "You are sleeping the direction of the dead. You have to get up and turn your body around. Your head cannot face the way the dead are placed into the coffin."
Yeah.
And I'll be like, first of all, I don't know how you know that, but I'm never aware to begin with.
That's incredible.
I don't know what my mom had going on that she needed.
Maybe there was like a compass or something.
It was a weird thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, my grandma wouldn't let me sleep on my, I'm trying to remember if it was my back.
Mm-hmm.
Like she'd wake me up to so I'm not sleeping on my back. Yeah. It was like I'm in a coffin already. And I was like, it was some weird shit. And I remember I was real young, so I was like, why are you waking me up?
How you feel, right? Like, are you kidding?
I had a dream. Yeah. They stopped when I turned 13. When puberty hit, they stopped. So that's cool with me.
Well, I think that's probably because they didn't want to walk in on you.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's definitely dead now. So
you wake me up from a good wet dream, man. It's a problem.
Exactly.
So even now, man, you wake me up from a good wet dream. That's a problem. Kirk is like, man, what the, come on, it was a good ass dream. What were you dreaming about? Don't worry about it, just leave the room. I could change the bed sheets.
That was right. I was dreaming about Miss Trinidad 1980, I guess.
I was, shit, if I was on Instagram, then you know.
Something on Instagram. I am so glad there was no social media when we were children. I probably would jump out of a high window and cut my throat on the way down because it would just be too much.
That'd be too much. Every time I look at it, I was like, thank goodness the internet wasn't invented until I was in college. It would be too much. Social media?
Yeah.
I mean, as dumb as we were, I can't even imagine I would do. I would have done. Like, can you imagine being in middle school or something? I mean, it's just, come on. No. I always imagine I get like in a time machine and I go back and I see myself and I'm like, you're an idiot. like if I saw myself, I'd slap him in the head. Like, what's wrong with you? Why did you just do that? It's stupid. Like, I know I would be annoyed with myself as a young person. So I can't imagine. Yeah, I feel for the kids today who have, they're young and they're putting that whole life out there.
Well, also, everything. It's like, yeah. I know some people who are just putting out embarrassing shit about their kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Like, their kids are in, like, a stupid outfit or, you know, the day he insisted that he was going to go to school dressed as Goku or somebody.
Right.
And it's just like, yo, that may not be something you want floating around years from now.
Forever.
And he's like, forever, right? When he's like, he or she is trying to, like, you know, run for office or get a job.
Remember when somebody posted that thing on with the kid with the George Jefferson haircut? And the kid was upset. Yeah, the kid had a nice. It was a young kid too. He was like maybe 12, and they had a whole. They cut to teach him a lesson, and they put that shit online, and I was dying
because
he
crazy.
Did look like George Jefferson.
No, we did all have. I think everybody here has probably had a bad haircut that you had to go to school with, 100%. And that was like the worst. You tried to cover it. People were like, "Nah." Especially, I was living in Texas at the time, so it was like, "Nah, it's not cold." Ooh. I don't know why you got a hat on. Let's see it. And then that was it. It was jokes for like it was you for the whole day. They remember that haircut.
The day try to win.
Worst. Yeah. The worst. Yeah, the week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So I'm to understand congratulations are in order.
Me?
For you, yeah. Did one of your properties get optioned or something to that?
Oh, yeah. Story I did called Ring Shout.
Yes.
Ring Shout has been optioned by a little company called Skydance.
Okay.
The guys who do little movies like Mission Impossible.
Little movies.
who did the Old Guard on Netflix, and who were doing a little thing called Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I
mean, it's great, but I always tell people, like, it also, I don't want to burst people, like, I had an aunt ask me, so when is it coming out? I was like, let me explain to you how Hollywood works. The option of a right is the beginning of a process that may end up going somewhere, but most time goes nowhere. I think in this case, they have hired on some top talent, you know, to do the writing, and Kiki Lane, the actress, is attached. Signed on as executive producer. So it's certainly more further along than a lot of other things, but you know, until it's made, I act like it's,
I understand.
It might be something that happens or it might not, but it is exciting. Yeah.
Yes.
The idea of it existing in the world from a story that I never expected to blow up the way it did is it's pretty nice.
We will keep our fingers crossed for you.
Yeah.
I mean, the monster's in Ring Shout already, dude. Dog. I won't spoil it. Y'all just got to go read it.
But, yeah, when I wrote that, that was just supposed to be a stopgap between Master of Gent. I put out The Haunting of Charing Cross 015. Yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to do a novel. And, you know, the way the book world works, publishing is slow. So it's like, they're like, yeah, that book's not going to hit till 2021. It's 2019 now. You got anything to go in between? I said, well, I got a weird story in my head. I've been pushing around an idea called Ring Shout. And so it was just supposed to be a little quirky book that a few black folks liked. I figured I'd come on shows like this and we'd laugh. And like, oh, you saw what he said about unseasoned food. Oh, you saw what he did there. He's making them little jokes. Oh, you know, and it would be like that kind of stuff. And then I didn't expect it to be a book that is blown up the way it is, where, you know, it's option for rights. It was like, it's such a reminder that as much as you think you know what you're doing when you're writing, the thing that you think is going to hit or the thing you think that might be small, you really don't know. You can't determine the audience.
Right.
The audience is going to maybe make something bigger than you thought it was. It was like, I had to go back and read. I was like, wow, I might have to go back and read this book again. you know, y'all are saying it's so good. So, okay, let me check this out again.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. One character actually reminded me of Snoop from The Wire. She was live like that. And she was like, these niggas here. Yeah. Yeah. And she gets real live.
Sadie was across of probably a lot of people, but I think when I was channeling Sadie, I was thinking of Tiffany Haddish from Girls Trip.
Mm. Oh, okay. Really?
Okay.
With a mean streak. Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. She was live.
Just,
right on front.
That friend, you're like, I know you. I'll have to bring you along, but I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. She's the mouse you always run around.
Yeah. What do you mean mouse as in
Easy Rollins
dress?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's okay. The Easy Rollins. Yeah, she's Easy Rollins.
She's live. She's live. She's live.
Yeah, you could say that a cross between Easy Rollins, that's a good one.
And Snoop.
Tiffany Haddish, and
Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
That was like this, but you know.
Well, if you didn't want him dead, why'd you leave him with me?
Exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
This is some crazy shit. There's some crazy shit in that one. That's one of my favorites, though. Ring Shot is one of my favorites.
Thank you.
I'll say that.
So, very prolific, very successful, hoping for more success, all that.
Yeah, man.
Since you got that shirt on, let's talk about the Olympics.
Is anybody watching the Olympics?
But I mean, I don't know.
First of all, I'm surprised they're having it. The whole time they were having it, I was like, why are y'all having the Olympics? Like, I guess, but now they're saying it's going to be spectators. I said, yeah, okay. They were like, we have to declare a COVID emergency.
Yeah.
Did you hear that there was a pandemic?
Yeah.
Is this new to you?
Right. Like they're acting like it's Star Wars. Like on that part of the galaxy, there's a pandemic. But here we're going to have the Olympics.
If COVID was like the movies and there were zombies, if they would just be still doing it, right? It's like, oh, I know there are zombies, but we're going to have the Olympics and, you know, probably just going to have to do spectators. We can't have a whole lot of people.
Well, that would certainly add a new dimension to the 50-yard dash.
A few players might, you know, turn into zombies, but, you know, overall, we think it might be all right.
Right.
Actually, that's a premise of a movie right there. Say a
the
father
Olympics
and
with zombies?
Yeah, father and daughter are trying to rehash their relationship. So dad decides that they should take a road trip to view the Olympics during the zombie apocalypse.
Of course, why not?
And it's a road trip with them trying to get to the Olympics as they're fighting through zombies. Then they get to the Olympics and it's only like three people.
If the zombie apocalypse was happening with all the dynamics of this pandemic, it would just be too much. A president telling people you can cure the zombie apocalypse just with bleach.
Right.
Anti-vaxxers on TV talking about, I'm not getting the vax, and the zombie chewing their face off in between. It would just be, the dynamics of our pandemic. But
my Aunt Bertha has the right to be a zombie if she wants to be, and she ain't got to wear a mask.
Alt-right libertarians shooting at you. Alt-right libertarians shooting at you.
Yep.
I thought they were zombies.
Perfect.
Was they so dark? Nice. Like they don't have the same kind of color as live people.
Right.
That'd be that, yeah.
It'd be something.
But then they'd probably switch up because somebody would eventually accuse them of trying to take their jobs. So...
there would be no immigration.
Zombies. Immigration has been discouraged now, you know.
They'd still blame Mexico for zombies crossing the border.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't even migrant workers anymore. It's just zombies crossing the border, and it's all them damn Mexicans letting in their zombies. We don't want their zombies. We got to deal with their own zombies.
Right.
That'll be that. That'll be that shit. You'll be looking at Fox News. You'll be like, come on, man. Damn, wish I had my gun.
I think Fox News would just be all zombies. That's what I think would happen.
Ain't they zombies now?
Just a bunch of zombies.
I know one thing. They're the only network on Sixth Avenue that needs police gates around their windows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
NBC? NBC? Nothing. CBS? Nothing. Fox News? Mm. Surrounded by gates. I'm just gonna leave that right there. That, you know,
it must be their charming personalities.
Yeah.
Well, actually, wasn't there like a not an attack? There was like a, I want to say like during that whole Trump thing, and you know, the steal, and you had supporters mad at Fox because they betrayed the Trump, and somebody actually tried to like throw a rock or throw something over at Fox News. And it was one, it's a Trumpist. It's like, oh, you betrayed the president, you betrayed, you know. So it wasn't like people who have sense. It was just motherfuckers who, you know.
Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, we're not throwing a rock. I mean, we may like walk by and like do this, you know.
Is that lone stormtrooper who's like, you know, you betrayed Darth Vader.
Basically, right?
Like the guy
threw a rock at the building and missed.
did you see that guy on the racist in New Jersey who got into it with the black dude and was like, y'all have a problem with me, come to my address.
Yeah.
Like, this was the scene in front of his house later that day.
But Keeping It Real goes wrong.
Wrong.
The 2021 edition.
He sent out the invite.
Oh, yay. Yeah. I guess he didn't think anybody was coming.
I wish our book signings would work like that. Get on Instagram and be like, y'all don't come on down to the villains hideout.
You know, and that should have been the real ending of them. That should have been the real ending of them. Oh, it's like a really happy ending at least. Give us a bone or something. Like them ends with white folks getting thrown out their house for being nasty towards their black neighbors.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen the whole thing. So I've heard things, but I haven't seen it.
I'm still waiting to get over episode 5. So
yeah,
I'm working myself towards episode 5.
I'm so behind.
Five.
I didn't get to do any of the people who were during the pandemic. Like I finished Netflix. I didn't start. And so what's great is that I was just busy. And so I was like, when do y'all get tired? They're like, I'm so bored. I was like, you're bored. I got work.
Yeah.
You need work. And so I didn't get to watch anything. And so what's great right now is that I have all these shows because we have so much TV now. Again, men of a certain age. Remember we had like a few channels. Yeah. We had to turn to UHF because you had to turn the dial and you had to get the round antenna.
We have one. HBO was our only. It was HBO was it. And
remember,
WHT.
Remember the cable box?
It had good old WHT.
WHT and HBO.
I'll be right back. You
should try to finagle if you didn't have it because your parents weren't paying for it,
right?
But you could still kind of finagle a TV
halfway
see some half naked lady or
gotta
something
put
like that.
Vice. You got to put the vice grip on the channel to keep it in between.
Right.
No, and it's like now I say we live in this amazing time when there's so much TV, and if you're into speculative fiction and sci-fi, it's like endless. It's like the geeks won.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh yeah, kind of.
Like every streaming service, everything, there's more than I can keep up. And here's something else. A lot of it is good.
Yes.
Like we grew up watching a lot of, I grew up watching Knight Rider. Knight Rider was nonsense.
Utter nonsense.
Yeah, and yeah, you watch it now. It's like
nonsense. I watched like Auto Man.
But as little kids, we loved it.
Into a car.
Yeah, I remember Auto Man.
Yeah.
And
Manimal.
We watch some nonsense.
Wait.
The Phoenix.
The Phoenix.
The list goes on.
Damn.
You know what I bought? I bought when it came out, I bought the box set. So you remember the TV show Voyagers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And I was super excited. I got the box set. I was like, man, I love this. And I watched the first two episodes and was like, this got on network television.
It's terrible.
This is some of the worst acting I've ever seen.
But like stuff now, it could hold up. They're oh, we got real writers. We got real actors. And so it's just so much. I can't even keep up with it all.
Right.
And so I'm thinking like recently, like The Expanse. I started watching The Expanse and then life happened.
Kirk's
and I had to stop. And it was good. It wasn't like I had to stop because I got bored. It was just like, I don't have time. So yeah. I'm just getting back into it. And I'm like on season three. And what's great is that I got two more whole seasons just sitting there, like good stuff. Mm. And like, yeah. I'm like, I'm in heaven right now. And anytime I'm bored, it's like, oh, there's some expanse. I can just watch it and catch up. Now, the bad thing is when something cool happens, I want to call somebody up. Oh, did you see? Yeah, I saw when it happened 3 years ago. But nice for you to catch up.
And that's somebody is probably Kirk.
Kirk, yeah, you can still call me about that. I'll be like, just excited still.
Yeah. Dude, call me about something.
You see when they flip and burn?
Yeah, Kirk turned us on to the expanse.
Yeah, and, man.
My only thing about the expanse was like, that's a show that's not like Knight Rider or any of this other shit. Like, you actually have to sit and pay attention because there's like layers and all kinds of character development,
it's
world
good
and
writing,
all that other shit.
Good writing. Absolutely. Yeah. And I always think like there must have been a time when they decided that TV on sci-fi was just going to have good writing. And I'm probably going to go back to like something like when BSG came on, the second Battlestar Galactica. And I remember I'm Battlestar Galactica. I remember I'm the original Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
You're not going to show me no new Battlestar Galactica. And after a while, that's some good shit, actually.
Like,
doing some good writing. Okay. This is actually a good show.
Speaking of being a man of a certain age, you like, nigga, I know Starbuck. What you talking about?
I know Starbuck.
I know Starbuck. You're trying to tell me about Starbuck.
Yeah. Starbuck's supposed to be a pretty boy dude. And then like, okay. This Starbuck kind of cool.
I was more like, Colonel Ty, Boomer. We're the two black guys. There was only two black guys in space. Boomer was shooting shit too. Where'd he go?
I gotta say, could not have been this Colonel Ty. The old Colonel Ty was, I'm just gonna say it, he was a very good Uncle Ben. Every time I saw the old Colonel Ty, I thought Uncle Ben's rice. And I'm not disparaging against him as a character.
Right.
But that's who I thought about. He was the most well properly mannered diction Negro out there. I was like, he is a credit to the race.
Hey, he had an immaculate fro, okay? He had to pull over all of it over that chest. Right. You know, I had to put a pullover over and
the
still had a fro
kind
of nice.
The second one? No, we're gonna have to get a little rougher. We needed Keith David to play that Colonel Ty.
That would have been
somebody like a Samuel Jackson or somebody. He couldn't be
that would have been nice.
That first respectable dude.
I would have gone in for of these Keith motherfucking David. Cylons on this motherfucking ship.
Yep, Uncle Ben done seen some shit, so we needed to like change it.
Nah, wait. Do you remember Keith David was in a platoon?
Was he? Remember? In platoon? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't.
If he was Colonel Ty, I would just watch to wait for him to say some shit like, cocksucker! Motherfucking Cylons! Yeah, that I'll be waiting for him to do that iconic line from Platoon. And that's it. Or coming with a red bandana around his head.
Wow.
Like, y'all remember the old Battlestar Galactica? Now I'm going down a rabbit hole where Starbuck ended up stranded with a Cylon.
Yeah.
And they had to like, they had to work shit out, basically. Yeah. It was a classic, you know, I'm stranded with my enemy. And
my enemy
he asked
my
the Cylon and said, so what do y'all plan to do what do you plan to do? We plan to reorder the universe. And then what are you going to do when it reordered? And the Cylon was like, we ain't thought that far. Like, we just plan to reorder it. Like, he's like, yeah, that's what I thought.
Then we're going to have espresso, you know.
Basically. Yeah, espresso.
No, we'll become espressos. We'll become espresso machines.
Yeah. Well, they sure as hell found a whole lot of good writers for the Star Wars animation.
Oh man,
I just finished Rebels, and there was a moment I'm sitting there like, you've got to be kidding me. We went there with a major character died.
Don't say nothing.
I haven't seen any of this. I'm still working through Bad Batch.
I haven't finished Clone Wars.
You haven't finished Clone Wars?
I started it when Clone Wars started, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, I was telling everybody, I was like, have you seen this? They're giving the clones personalities. There's like rogue clones. They're like really going in. And then I completely fell off. Life happened. And I just never got back to it. And then before I knew it, like, you know, Darth Maul was alive. He had a brother.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like, like so much. But all I know was that, I mean, just going back to that, the writing was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, they like, I don't know. Like I said, again, I'm not disparaging our childhood. I'm just saying.
You're allowed.
There's an abundance of just good, whether it's animation, whether it's live TV, there's just an abundance of just good TV out there. I'm just saying TV. I'm not even saying movies. I'm just saying straight TV.
Well, the budgets are bigger now, aren't they? The budgets are bigger now.
Yeah. And the budgets are bigger, and I think they're approaching it seriously.
I think they actually hired people who care about the source material.
Yeah, who care?
Because, I mean, you know, science fiction and all of that stuff was kind of like, you know, it's like a throwaway, you know, it's like, oh, okay, we're going to put this in as a filler. And, you know, because, you know, by 10 o'clock when MASH started playing, that was it for the night. And
like, MASH, like, you say MASH?
Yes, because when you knew, when you heard the theme song, the MASH, you were like, it's time to go to bed.
It's time to go to bed,
But I remember, Marvel, poor Marvel, they come so far. Remember the original Captain America?
When Captain America throws his mighty shield. Oh, wait, the plastic shield? The live action one. Oh, wasn't it Red Brown? Red Brown?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, with that plastic shield.
Or like the Spider-Man, what was it, Chinese Connection? Oh my God.
Yes.
What was the boy's name? Nicholas Hammond?
Yes. Oh my God.
But I will say, that theme song is actually kind of the saxophone music for Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Spider-Man. That theme is actually pretty good.
But you know, part of it is technology has come about, right? It's like, it's kind of, I'm kind of happy that Marvel finally got to the point where they can make their own now.
Yes.
Than back then, or even like the 90s, right? You've seen those things. Like, if it would have been the 90s, who would have played it? Like Denzel as Black Panther.
Right.
You know how cheesy it would have been. It's like, I don't think there was any other time it could have happened, but now.
No, true.
Right? Because they have the technology and they have the people, I think, like Mark said, who take this stuff seriously.
They have the talent.
Like,
that
we got to, it's a comic, but we got to like, make sure we bring the audience along. Something DC could learn.
You know what? DC, I'm a firm believer that DC should really stick to the animation and to television, because I think the problem is that they're so, the movie division is so concerned about playing catch up with their Marvel guys that they're either not doing a really good backstory to introduce us to these characters, or we're doing the backstory multiple times.
Yes.
Almost like what they did with Spider-Man, because there was only so many times we could see Uncle Ben get shot before we, like,
I was so
all
happy
right,
they
we,
didn't do that with the young kid. They were like, oh, I don't have to see it. Thank you.
We get past that. But I thought that their TV, their WB stuff was really good. They took their time. It gave them an opportunity to take their time.
Right.
To build the stories and everything. But whoever they're getting in the film division, I think is just straight, you know.
Booty?
I don't know if I want to say
it's booty, but it's just, they.
It's lackluster.
It's, you know what it feels like? It feels like, okay, you all already know this. Let's just give y'all a story to just follow. Yeah. And, What I find hysterical is that the DC fan base seems that, I guess, they love to go to the movies and get mad.
Yep.
Because if I they will sit there. I will watch people on Facebook when the Zack Snyder cut came out.
And tell them that
yeah.
Before it came out, before it came out, I knew a bunch of DC fans. Like, it's still going to be crap. I don't know why they're putting this out. I'm not wasting my time. 2 days later, I knew it was going to be crap. I told you guys, I was like, so what did you watch it? It was 4 hours. You spent 4 hours of your life to get mad? I'm like, let it go. I'm like,
yeah.
It was Aquaman's backup scene.
I had to take that thing in pieces. I had to take that
That's
thing.
That's why they watched it.
I mean, the thing is, the Zack Snyder thing actually made more sense. It was just, who's going to watch it? It's like, it's great that it made more sense, but it's 4 hours. How would you show that in a movie theater?
I don't know if it made more sense, bro.
At some point.
I don't know if it's gonna make more sense, man. Because you know, Martian Manhunter.
When I say
Martian Manhunter coming at the end,
compared to whatever Joss Whedon had done. Yeah, it made more sense. Yeah. But yeah, it was too much. Like, oh, Martian Manhunter is gonna pop in every now and then. Then when you think it's over, oh, it's not over. There's more. Mm. Oh, there's a whole apocalypse. Oh, we're still going.
Right.
Yeah. What is Joker doing? No.
Right.
You know what? Right. You know what that made me think of? Just that's the second time this has happened in DC history. So I'm like, so y'all didn't learn from the Richard Donner bit, did y'all? Because the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2 is 700 times better than the... I was like, so Donner tried to tell y'all back in the day, like, keep your original director. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing. We got this guy over here waiting in the wings. And like, I'm going to come in and I'm just going to rewrite the other guy.
See, this is the problem. I think it goes back to what you just said, though. I think it's DC playing catch up. Zack Snyder's movie obviously could not have been one movie. That needed to be like an Avengers Endgame, like part one, final movie, cut it, give me a second movie at another point. Yeah. But DC has been playing catch up where Marvel has just been, it's kind of like, you know, the hare and the turtle. Marvel's a turtle. They've just been doing their, like, you know what?
Steady, slow, and steady.
Out,
yep.
We're going to put out three Thor movies. Only one of them's any good. But the other two build up our whole world. Mm-hmm. And every time they come on TBS, y'all going to go watch it.
Yeah.
The first two anyway, right?
Exactly right.
They said, we're going to put out an umpteen Iron Man movies, but don't worry about which one. You can't even remember which one is which. Don't worry about it. It's building our world. Mm-hmm. So by the time we get ready to have an Avengers where you have monsters coming out, because we're gonna go all out. We're not gonna half-ass it. We're gonna have monsters come out of the sky, right? Like you would see in a comic, right? We're gonna take the comic, we're gonna put it on the screen. When I saw that, I was like, oh, Marvel's not playing. Marvel is not playing. They're not gonna half-ass it. They're not gonna be, oh, the audience might not go. They said, no, the same shit that we have been showing people in comics, we're gonna put it on the screen. We can do it because we have spent time. I mean, you count the years between the first Iron Man film,
right,
and the Avengers movie, right? That was a long time.
They took their time with that,
bit by bit. DC, it seems, is trying to like do it quick on the cheap, right? And it's like,
doesn't work.
It seemed like Zack Snyder tried to do everything. It was like,
you can't
introduce everybody to us in this thing. Like you said, Martian Manhunter is kind of like a lurking stalker who just shows up.
I'm gonna play Martha.
Right.
I'm gonna play the live Martha. Yeah.
Martian Manhunter, like, you know, kind of on some deadbeat dad shit, really. You know, just kind of popping in. Hey, baby.
Yeah.
Can I get the kids this weekend? You know,
ridiculous.
I was mad that you put him in. I was like, I can't believe y'all ended it, man, and he didn't even take part in the final conflict.
No part in the fight whatsoever.
I would have been happy if Aquaman actually did have his choir singing at the end.
You wouldn't have.
Did the Aquaman movie come first or the Justice League movie?
Yeah.
Aquaman came first.
I mean,
Josh Whedon?
No. I think Justice League.
Justice League was first. Then Aquaman.
And then we got the Aquaman.
That's foolish. That's absolutely foolish.
And
should have been. But you know what? That's what I meant. Other way around.
That sounds like somebody. That sounds like there's a room full of people, and there's that one guy in the back, like, hey, you know, I was watching Iron Man, and Nick Fury showed up at the end. Okay, so we're gonna put Martian Manhunter at the end, and so we're just gonna have a show. It's and like anybody black, else show
so that should get cut it.
Right, right. It's supposed to get people in. We can get some black hat, black seats in.
No, but because you guys are right.
I mean, if you think about because one of the novel things about Marvel movies was that each singular movie did introduce or show us somebody who is coming later on. Yep. I mean, they did it very well. Like, you know, I still remember in Thor, it took me a minute to realize that it was Hawkeye. Because in Thor, when he showed up to get the hammer and you see the guy running and he grabs the bow and arrow and everything, and I'm like, who the devil is that? Because I completely forgot that he was, it'd been years since I've read of an Avengers comic. And then when he gets up in the thing, I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess you'll be making an appearance at some point in these movies, because, you know, when they put a named actor in a role, they, you know, they're not just kind of tossing them to the side, you know.
Right.
Which by
DC,
the way,
DC has its original sin, and that original sin is called Green Lantern. That was supposed to be their jump off. And we're all supposed to forget the Green Lantern ever happened.
Right. Nah, man.
It's so bad the Green Lantern has become Deadpool. Like, he's gone out to the other side to make fun of the fact that they made it. They made that nonsense.
But you know what's funny? He made fun of both of those things. He made fun of the original Deadpool from the original Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
Which was trash. And, that was total trash.
I mean, what's going to be interesting is that the X-Men have been owned separately from the MCU until now. And so, unfortunately, they have had the same problem I think the DC has had. They've had a lot of people just playing in their toolbox, doing whatever, and not respecting that world, right? And just doing whatever they want.
Oh,
and
please.
I want to see what's going to be interesting if they're going to start bringing them in. It seems like Deadpool may be that bridge. We're going to start bringing you guys into the MCU. If they can do something better than what we've seen so far.
Well, I would just be happy to just see Storm with a decent wig. I mean, to tell you the truth.
Why don't you say a decent Storm, period?
Or that, too.
It's a decent Storm, period.
The rumor I'm hearing is that, what's my man? Lawrence Fishburne.
Playing Storm?
No. No,
I'll take it.
okay.
Matrix to Storm. It's you can't help but see it. You can't. I can see it. Matrix to Storm. Yeah.
Yeah. Same movie. So the character he played in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
There is
Ben Foster.
There's a rumor going around that that's actually the Beyonder.
Whoa.
And if he's the Beyonder. Then at some point, if that is true, then the X-Men will be making an appearance soon, because he did cause a lot of trouble for them. So it will be interesting to see.
So how that mean we're getting Secret Wars?
It's in the works.
Okay.
There's a lot of murmurs about the Secret Wars.
Yeah, they're going back and they're going to take their third, fourth try at Fantastic Four.
Jesus Christ.
Shit. Yeah. I mean, it'd be an interesting way of introducing them. I mean, using the Beyonder and Secret Wars and quantum physics and time travel and all that crazy shit they're talking about doing now is probably going to be their in on introducing everybody like that. From Fantastic Four to the mutants.
Yeah. Well, they're doing a lot of multiverse. There's a lot of multiverse.
They're doing a multiverse.
Yeah,
they got Jonathan Majors watching that. Doing they're definitely Kang. Playing around there. Yeah,
yeah, that multiverse in Loki is hysterical.
And then the what ifs are coming.
Yeah,
yes.
That's yeah.
Gonna be true.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just saw the trailer for that. Looks crazy. Yeah.
Looks good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to love what ifs as a kid. Love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was telling these guys I have a what if. I don't know if you remember this one, but I was telling these guys about a what if comic I had to hunt down. Where they made fun of everybody it wasn't even a storyline. They just went in and it was like, it was like one page of the comic is all blank. It's just one white page. And it's like Iceman, Wendigo, and Silver Surfer fighting in a snowstorm. What if Daredevil was deaf instead of blind? So he's fighting these guys and he's like, what you say? I can't hear a word. What if Aunt May was a superhero and they had her as Goldie Oldie? And they had her as Ghost Rider in a wheelchair.
Right. Actually, I like that. Oh, wow. I do like that. I do want to see that. I want to see that actually now. I want to see that.
Maybe get Marissa Tomei.
I can't help but still feel the need to always hear Bokeem Woodbine via Mark Abbott's Bokeem Woodbine as Aunt May's boyfriend. It's Uncle Ben. I would have loved to have seen that. I'm sorry. I still want to do it. Fantasy, we got a thing where Mark does this great Bokeem Woodbine. And Aunt May, when they finally did when they introduced the new Spider-Man and Aunt May was Marissa Tomei, yeah, we had that joke going on that, so then Uncle Ben, it was, you know, her lover was a black guy named, you know, Bokeem Woodbine. He finally got his chance. Finally got his acting chops up in the MCU.
No pressure, man.
Bokeem Woodbine.
You see, they always trying to get me because it's between that and my Sam Elliott that I've been going Sam back Elliott. And forth with. So you'd have Bokeem. Let me see. We'd have Bokeem Woodbine as Uncle Ben facing off against the Ghost Rider. So it'd be like, so you saying that my nephew is Spider-Man? Yeah, you said you know that that's the Ghost Rider is looking for your son, and Pete Parker is we know he's Spider-Man. Ridiculous.
Every time I think of Bokeem Woodbine, I immediately go back to Dead Presidents, and I think of him getting arrested at the church. That's like the scene that will always be there, and him shaking his head to the saying, no. Oh man. See, if this was a just world, Bokeem Woodbine would be as popular as Brandon Fraser.
Yes.
Wow. He would have had 10 mummy movies, been swimming in dough. He could do any movie. He don't even have to act no more.
Yeah.
But you know.
That's fair.
We know how the world is.
We do.
Yeah.
It's certainly not fair.
That's all we have is fan fiction.
Yep.
Having Bokeem Woodbine's Uncle Ben come out the shower. You seen that boy, Peter? I got to talk to him about something important. I got to talk about responsibility. Peter went out. Peter had to run and do something, Uncle. Ben, why don't you come in bed, baby? And that's it. I would just love to see the Twitter reaction to that. Uncle Ben's black and he's Bokeem Woodbine.
Yeah, I don't think we'd hear the end of that one.
No, I would love to see
that. Well, they damn near lost their minds when Lawrence Fishburne played Perry White.
Yes.
They really lost their minds when Idris Elba was cast as Heimdall.
Oh, they
yes.
did.
Like, I got into actual arguments with people over that shit. Like, it's supposed to be Norse mythology. Hence the word mythology, my man.
Well, they got, yeah, they got what I really found funny when they were saying it's supposed to be Norse mythology, I found somebody broke down like all the other people playing the Norse gods. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, she's Italian. He's Celtic.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Right? Like, nobody there is from Norway or Scandinavia, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What is it about Idris Elba that stands out to you a little more than the others?
Than the others.
You're worried about their ethnic group because nobody else there. Italy, Scandinavia, two different worlds, my friend. Trust me, the Romans had a whole idea about what the heck lived beyond and north of them. And it wasn't, they thought that was barbarian land. Right? Right.
One of these things is kind of different. The rest of these things are kind of the same.
Seems so different that he's
British.
Exactly Norwegian.
That's what it is.
British part. Yeah. Mm. It's his Anglo-Saxon-ish. Yeah, I'm
sure. Yeah. Can't have that. No.
But you know, it's
1066 forever.
They got mad about Michael B. Jordan playing the Human Torch.
Yeah.
Johnny Blaze.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, my boss still calls the thing Chunk from that movie. So, because she didn't realize it was called the Thing, she thought it was a chunk.
Really? Do you think they can make a Fantastic Four? Do you think it's? I think maybe some things just aren't. They aren't possible. Like maybe I always wondered
after Guardians of the Galaxy.
You think any? But
after a fucking talking tree and a raccoon, after that,
there was something about that, even in the comics, that was always quirky, right? But the Fantastic Four is supposed to take serious, but it's old, right? You go back and see Fantastic Four, it was like, yeah, cosmic rays turn a guy into some rocks, and the first invisible dude can stretch, you know? That's interesting. The fire person is the most, you know, okay, the fire thing, that looked cool. The rest are kind of weird. And I was like, the 1950s or something, I just wonder, maybe, I mean, they've tried, like, what, three times?
Three times,
maybe I don't know. Maybe as a movie on its own, can it translate? They're going to try again, so we'll get to see. I'm wondering if maybe it's just not translating to us in a modern way. That even a Guardians of the Galaxy can, simply because it's a newer comic and it's simply quirky.
So
but
far,
well, there's something about trying to take Fantastic. I don't know.
So I don't know. They got us to care about Asgard.
He did.
And
but look what
did
to Asgard. They made Asgard is technology. They also, but then they got us to care about it. But in the third one, I thought they did really well. They got us to not take, and this is something Marvel does well, not take itself as seriously.
Right?
We're like, okay, it's kind of funny. But the Fantastic Four, people trying to make the Fantastic Four, they're like the origin, right? You're supposed to take them seriously.
Yeah.
There's an earnestness to it.
The room, right? We're the statesman in the room.
Yeah, I think
I don't know.
Yeah, the mishaps. I mean, the Michael Chiklis and that foam suit and Jessica Alba and the other guy Ian McDormand. Am I getting that right? Like those two do not look like they would have ever like there was no chemistry. There was no she's acting all concerned about like being ignored. It's like first of all. Who would ignore that? It's like none of that.
didn't that Mr. Fantastic, did he break dance or dance or do something bizarre?
In that movie? I didn't even see that movie. Yeah.
I'll be honest. The reboot was written well until we got to the third act.
Yeah.
If you watch the one with Michael B. Jordan, that movie actually was good until it seemed like somebody went, oh, crap, we're already an hour and a half in. We got to wrap this up. And then they just threw whatever they had together to end it. And I was just like, why didn't y'all just make it a two-part movie if that's what you were going to, because you did have a good, it was a decent script. It wasn't horrible.
I blocked it from memory, and I can't remember.
It just well, you never saw the original one, did you?
Which one?
Oh, the Roger Corman one. The one from the 80s.
Oh God!
Yeah. But those I expect. Those were supposed to find those absolutely ridiculous. But we're this is the age where they're making movies. You're supposed to make people think of. Hero movies are serious. Yeah. It's like everyday things. Make it think like this can be the real world. Right.
Well, I think Marvel needs to take up because they weren't technically Marvel films.
Yeah. They weren't MCU.
Under the Marvel.
That's what I'm wondering.
They were. Yeah. So I think in the hands of.
Who were they? Warner Brothers?
No.
Sony or Warner Brothers?
Two of them were Sony.
Oh, Fox.
Yeah.
One was Sony. Fox and Sony.
Right.
So
isn't that the whole story? Sony owned like all those big names.
Yeah. They own Spider-Man.
Marvel had to sell off all their stuff. And so when they came to make the Avengers, they basically had to use what to them was the B team. Like, okay, we still have Iron Man, all this, right. but Thor. But they made it work.
Yeah. And they made it work to the point where we now actually care about Falcon, Winter Soldier, Loki.
Yeah.
You would have asked me that 10 years ago. I'd have been like, get the fuck out of here. Are you like serious? Yeah. Like, Loki is getting a show? Right. Like, no. But now I'm like, all right, watch Loki.
Yeah, we want to care about
and
Wanda and Vision.
And WandaVision. Which again, yeah, exactly. Characters that, you know, as you were as a kid, you were out buying comics. You weren't buying a comic because of Wanda and Vision. You would like read it and be like, oh yeah, that's interesting. You know, they were they were there. But you know, even the most die-hard comic book collector was not all like gung-ho about. And then you're sitting here watching, like, you know, and WandaVision especially, you know what it actually reminded me of? It reminded me of, and this is, you know, showing age here, it reminded me of watching soap operas with my mom.
Yeah.
Because my moms would be watching All My Children, One Life to Live, General Hospital.
General Hospital, mess.
And the Edge of Night. Edge of Night.
And you got all that going on. It's summertime. It's like, what are you doing, Mom's watching All My Children. And then it's kind of that same thing. We've become our parents that way. Yeah. It's just that, you know, it's like Erica, but the thing is just Erica Kane's got on a cape and can fucking distort reality.
That's crazy.
Haven't comic books always been that? I've always thought, like, when you sit down and read comic books, like, you read the Avengers. It was they went out and battled and they stopped the forces of hell or whatever. Then it was their interpersonal relationships that was going on between Wanda and Vision and, you know, and what was going on with Hawkeye and the love thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, we always had a bit of that soap
Iron
opera,
Man having a drinking problem.
They was always having problems. Relationship problems and everything.
Reed ain't paying attention to Sue.
What happened? Here's what I want to know.
Johnny Storm keeps getting on fire.
Do you remember a comic called The Defenders?
Yes. Yeah.
With Valkyrie. Yeah.
Hercules. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Valkyrie, Vision. Yes. Hercules. Falcon. Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was just me. Damien Hellstorm. Remember, Damien Hellstorm?
Yeah. Hellstorm. Yeah.
Bring them in. Bring them in. That's about Gargoyle.
Right. Instead of Netflix giving us the bullshit event, like, Defenders.
Defenders. I was like, I need some Gargoyle and Valkyrie and all that.
Well, actually, with Netflix, everything was fine except Iron Fist.
Everything was fine.
Iron Fist
over its own feet.
I agree.
Luke Cage was great.
Luke Cage.
Even Jessica Jones.
I wanted to love Luke Cage.
Yeah.
I know it's like sacrilege. I get my card pulled. I can't wait to love Luke Cage. And then something about around, I was like, in the end, it kind of.
It was like mid.
Yeah,
like,
it kind of started.
Like mid in the middle.
But I thought like when Daredevil first started, I was like, damn, this is good.
No, Daredevil was solid.
I wasn't even into Daredevil like this, but damn, this is good. Yeah.
That fight.
And I got to say, Jessica Jones.
On the stairs.
Jessica Jones was, I don't know if I saw the last one, but Jessica Jones, with Purple, he was always like one of my favorite villains. Mm-hmm. Purple Man.
Even the, what you call it.
You had that fight scene though.
The Punisher. Oh.
The Punisher.
Jesus
Punisher
was Christ.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. That scared me on a level. Mm-hmm. That scared me on a level, kind of like just because of the cats that you know who live in America, and the people that live in America. The Punisher for them, you know, easily to misinterpret and distort.
Yeah, it is. It's become a fascist.
So the 80s Kirk that was into, like, you know, guns and action movies like that was into it, but the adult Kirk was like, this is a problem.
These fools gonna storm the Capitol.
I'm surprised. I bet you 10 to 1 niggas had Punisher shirts underneath their flag jackets. underneath their bulletproof jackets and Trump hats.
He like called them out. Like, he called the cops out.
Yeah.
He's like,
he disavowed
them. Because they have like Punisher logos for cops. He's like, do y'all not know y'all's job?
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't have Punisher logos.
Absolutely.
Right. Protect and serve, not protect and serve my head.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all are giving away the game here. Yeah,
exactly. Hey, fellas, that's our time.
Oh, wow.
So, Mr. Clark, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You certainly fit in. That's all I'm going to say. As far as all that goes.
Like, thank you. I didn't want to talk about the books forever. I just want to talk about some wild shit. That's what I want to talk about. I want to complain. No. I want to be men of a certain age complaining about this.
Well, oddly enough, that is exactly what we should actually rename that this show.
Men of a certain age.
But until then, we are Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. And thank you once again, Finn. Mark,
thank you.
Kirk, as always, I appreciate you. We're signing out. And thank you. And next week, real quick, we are celebrating the 5th anniversary of this podcast. It should be bananas. So,
Beef, Wine, and Bananas?
That too. So see you then.
Shenanimaniacs.